darkens softly behind my hip bones. Now I begin the washing and the learning to be new. Now I try not to wait for him to come home. Speaking practice. Today, our Korean teacher asked us what year we would rewind to if we had the choice. The secret skipped a beat, leaped straight into my mouth. But this tongue is an old pocket watch, a rusty heirloom. Later, alone, I answered. You are asking if I would rather know or forget, if I would give all of this up in order to be happy. Yes, it is important to be happy. Yes, I would go back to holding him and not knowing. Annie Mason's collie was the first death she watched. In the kitchen, the dog lifted its head before its body emptied, quiet as a sink. I've never seen death streak across the sky of a loved one's face, just mapped out the craters it leaves, stayed up with dreams of its explode and howl and nothing clogging my eyes. I am lucky. Annie married her letter jacket love last winter. Sometimes it all works out. I kept the invitation on my dresser for months, let it curl, first into bark, then ash. Mud. I walked through the first boy like a pool of water churning with living things, fetal creatures that recognized me from when I floated upside down in the dark. I could see my face reflected in him, but was distracted by the storm below, many-legged secrets calling themselves by my name. The universe doesn't speak to me anymore, he said. It just mutters under its breath once in a while. The boy who taught me to believe in omens began to smell like an old pond, fish bones bubbling to the surface. So I waded back out, still wet of him, too afraid to wring him out of my clothes in case I was wrong. I walked through the second boy like a garden, a place to close the gate, away from the crashing symphonies of the city. We disappeared among the cabbages, each leaf waxy and familiar as our mother's elbows. In the pantry of the earth, everyone thought in the same language, the common bodily knowledge of dirt and sun. But when I passed him a fig of me to sink his teeth into, it dropped with a sound like a long, blank stare, and I dug for worms and the howls of writhing things, but found only seeds, half-sprouted and too holy between my fingers. So I walked out, backwards, kissing each bed and leaving the gate open in case he wanted to call me back. I walked into the third boy like a house that had been there all along, wondering how long the porch light had been on when I fell against the doorbell and tumbled in. Now I'm standing in the front hall, tracking mud on the carpet and afraid to touch couches once familiar to my weight. I look for my face among the picture frames, wondering if he'll ever come downstairs and whether I want him to find me like this, smelling of compost, covered in algae, dripping pond and garden all over his floor. Sabotage. She is a cat who can't stop coughing up dead things, hiding them in everyone's shoes. All the teeth she's swallowed, snowballing into wood chippers, hacking up balls of tangled wire, spiked mirrors, a still twitching chicken heart, a broken mug handle, all the hoarded bottom drawer shards making friction, waiting for the wind to turn, for the frog in her stomach to burst and coat her mouth with its ruin.